In seminary, one of the things they told us is to preach as little as you can get away with on the Holy Trinity, which is what we celebrate this weekend. And the reason for that is it's so hard to preach about. You're trying to preach about the very nature of God, you know, who God is and what God is. And it's so hard for us as human beings to even understand that. But one distinction I remember they did make that made some sense is they talked about the Holy Trinity ad intra and ad extra. Basically, that's a really fancy Latin phrase for inside and outside. Okay? So what's it like for the Holy Trinity inside, and what's it like for them outside? A good analogy is this. If you have a family and you have children, how you relate to each other and how you perceive your family at home, inside your house, is probably different than how people perceive you from outside your house, right? That don't live with you, right? So we as human beings tend to approach God ad extra, from the outside. We aren't part of him yet, and yet there's signs of him in the world and we want to know him. But what we're called to, what God has made us for, is experiencing the Trinity ad intra, from the inside. He wants us to live forever in heaven, sharing in his divine life. So how can we make that movement? How can we go from looking from the outside of the Trinity to living on the inside? Well, God knew that we're human beings and that we relate to him that way. And so what he did is he gave us two beautiful images in the world that show us who he is on the inside. And number one is creation. And this is not only true of a beautiful sunset or a starry night or beautiful flowers. It's most true when God creates human beings. It says in Genesis, God created mankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. So if you had a family picture and you gave that family picture out to people, they would know a little bit about your family, right? They'd see, oh, okay, they have four kids and they have no taste in clothing, you know, and they have really wild hair, or whatever, you know. They would know a little bit about you, but of course they wouldn't know you like you know each other at home, right? Well, God wants to put an image, a picture of himself in the world so that people can know who he is, know something about him. So he created Adam and Eve. Now you say, wait a minute, the Holy Trinity, that's three, right? Not two. But what command did he give to Adam and Eve? To be fruitful and multiply. You see, the image of the family itself is an image of God, is a taste of who God is, and even in this life can give us just a little taste of what it's like to live in the divine. Now, many of you are sitting there thinking, not in my house, Father. Well, but there are those times. We tend to be so negative sometimes, don't we, to look at all the bad, to not thank God for the good. To look at those beautiful moments in our family of a child being born, of the love and intimacy of spouses. These are little foretastes of heaven. The flip side of that also reveals something to us. If God's image is in the world through human beings, particularly men, women, and the family setting, what happens when we distort that? What happens when we change the image of the family? It could be relationships before marriage that shouldn't be. It could be trying to come up with something called same-sex marriage. It could be divorce. It could be not being open to the children. All these things begin to distort that picture in the world, doesn't it? Now, how many of you would come up here and start defacing the crucifix? Absolutely none of us would, right? We'd abhor that idea. Why do we not abhor just as much another and an even greater image of God in the world? Yes, even more than that crucifix are you, sitting in the pew, images of God. I read a great quote this past week from C.S. Lewis. See if I can remember it. He said that basically your neighbor next to the Blessed Sacrament is the holiest thing in this world. That person sitting next to you. Siblings, take note of this. That person sitting next to you is the holiest thing except for the Blessed Sacrament itself. We also can't distort that image of God in the world. Now, I told you there were two images God gave us to help us to know Him inside. One is creation, and in particular, the creation of man and woman in the context of married life. The second image is the church and its relationship with Christ. And this is what St. Paul speaks about, is that Jesus' love for His church poured forth, and we hear those words used beautifully in the first reading from Proverbs. Christ's love poured forth for us in the church. Us hopefully responding to Christ's love, and from that spirating new life. You see, a lot of people look at the Catholic Church and they think it's just an organization. It's a club centered around a common purpose or common interest. No, that's not what we regard ourselves as. And true, we were instituted by Jesus Christ, but it is even more than an institution. The Catholic Church has one mission, and that is to bring the presence of God into the world and bring the world into the presence of God. It is something living and breathing and alive. That's why it's always changing. And yet never changing. Now the church does fail in its humanness, and that distorts the image, doesn't it? When a priest does something wrong, or even when a layperson does something wrong, and they're hypocrites. We all live with this challenge. But in the end, Jesus promised faithfulness to His church, didn't He? He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." And probably the most beautiful thing about what the church gives us is this Eucharist that we are about to celebrate. Why? Because that's when we truly do journey from the outside to the inside. Not only do we get to look upon Jesus Christ in His true presence, sing songs to Him, hear the Word of God, then we get to actually consume the divine. Talk about being one. And that gives us another foretaste of heaven. Something caught my attention in the reading from Proverbs this evening. God is speaking about His Son, Jesus, throughout this reading. And then at the very end says this, "I found delight in the human race." How many of us actually think about God delighting in us? Do you ever look in the mirror in the morning and say to yourself, "God delights in me"? If you did, you might think you're real narcissistic, right? But honestly, it says He does. And we don't remind ourselves of that enough. And why does He delight in you? Because you are a reflection of Him. When you look in the mirror, you see something divine. You see something holy. Remember what C.S. Lewis said, next to the Blessed Sacrament itself, your neighbor is the holiest thing present to you. So what do you see when you look into the mirror? Because on that sixth day when God created you, he didn't say it was good. He said it is very good. I want to leave you today with a quote from St. Leo the Great. Christian, acknowledge your dignity and becoming a partner in the divine nature, refuse to return to the old baseness by degenerate conduct. Remember the head and the body of which you are a member. Recollect that you are rescued from the power of darkness and brought out into God's light and kingdom. By the mystery of baptism, you were made the temple of the Holy Ghost. Do not put such a desitin to flight when you, by base acts, and subject yourself once more to the devil's thraldom. Because your purchase money is the blood of Christ. Because he shall judge you in truth, who ransomed you in mercy, who with the Father and the Holy Spirit reigns forever and ever.